this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. Dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack.
We want our liberty. Welcome back, folks, to Second Amendment Friday. I am your host, Maggie Rose, and we have the Wings, my co-host, Chris Brumbles. And today's date is October 27th, 2023, and we are both hailing you from the great Pacific Northwest. Welcome back in, Chris.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
You know, Chris, before we get into a couple of the subjects that you and I have been discussing, I was listening today to Lars Larson.
Oh, okay.
And it seems that up in your neck of the woods, not quite where you are, but a town not too far from you, Portland, the teachers want to go on strike. And so what they're doing is the school district, in preparing for this teacher strike, are willing to send computers home with some of these kids and materials for the kids to stay on top of their schoolwork so they don't have the same thing happen that happened during the 1.5 years, 2 years of the COVID pandemic. So teachers, some of the people, the school districts are gearing up. They know there's a lot of children in the Portland, Oregon school district that are learning disabled and have all kinds of special challenges. They're also aware of the fact that many of these kids in the Portland school districts get their lunches and their breakfasts at least half off or subsidized for a portion of whatever that they would normally be paying. And some kids get totally free lunches. And what these teachers are doing, they say to the parents, if you want to show your support of us teachers here in Portland and show your support of the union, then what you need to do is not accept any educational materials for your kids to stay on top of their education at home. Do not accept any computers or any of the learning computer book materials, nothing. Just absolutely do not receive anything from the school district if you want to show your support for us and for the teachers union. And of course, they're going to say it's all about the children again. They always say it's all about the kids, but we know it's all about more money. And so I want you to be able to put this in the back of your mind, and so maybe we can bring this up during the show. But as we go on the show, I just wanted to play this portion of what Lars Larson was pointing out. And he's angry, and righteously so.
The teachers wrote to parents saying that turning down the offer of a computer would be, quote, an easy way to show support for teachers, students, and the union, Portland Association of Teachers Community. Now imagine this. You've got teachers that say, we're on strike because, and they always say this, it's all about the kids. It's all about better education. No, it's about the paycheck, and it's about the union. And they're literally telling parents, please let your kids' education lag while we're on the picket line. And the more your kids' education lags, the more pressure we can put on the district so we can get bigger paychecks. That's what they're saying. They're literally telling parents, turn down the free computer. Don't have your kid try to continue any kind of lessons while we're out on strike because we want you to support the union. And the union is more important than your kid's education. Anybody want to tell me that's not just downright evil? Today's Twitter.
So I think it's purely evil, too. I agree with Lars on that one.
Well, first of all, I got to say, screw the union. All they do is extort money and indoctrinate our children. And can they really be learning disabled in Portland if they don't go to school? You know, Thomas Jefferson said, and I'm ad-libbing, of course, because I don't remember the exact quote, but he said back, even back in his day, he said that if you took a man that can read and reads the newspaper and a man that can't read, he would put his money on the man who can't read being better informed. Same thing with the schools. These people, I don't know what happens in Portland, but I know what happens out here in Columbia County. And 1 year, they will strike because they want more money and better benefits. And the next year, they will strike because they want more teachers. Now, keep in mind, when they get more money, they have to cut teachers. And it's a vicious circle that just goes round and round, and you can set your watch by it.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, and everywhere we're turning now, we're finding out that the government is, and I'm not going to play that little bit, I'm going to do that on Monday, but what's happening is people were trying to say, oh, the government and Biden's trying to say there's no recession, and that look how great the GP is doing. And as Lars Larson brought up today on his show, he said, when you turn around and you look, that people cannot afford to pay their bills, so they're using their credit cards. Uh-huh. And as they keep using their credit cards, it makes it look like our economy's doing great and money's being spent. And he said, the truth is that the credit cards is putting people more and more into debt. And he said, it's like if a person turns around and he goes to his friend, and this is a picture that Lars Larson presented. You go to your friend, you say, boy, I'm struggling so hard. I can barely keep up with my bills. Everything keeps going up in price. And his friend says, well, you don't look like you're hurting. You're wearing nice clothes. You're driving a nice car. We see you going out to dinner on a regular basis. Obviously, the economy's not hurting you. And then the friend says, well, actually, the truth is I am over my limit on my credit cards. I've been using my credit cards for all that. So what the government's doing is they're spending like there's no tomorrow. And they're spending this into oblivion. They're spending money that we don't have. They're bankrupting the country. And they're putting out this false scenario that we're doing just beautiful. Everything's great. Everything is hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans are just as guilty as this as the Democrats are.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, we have a we're supposed to have free market capitalism, and we haven't had that for many, many years. We have a Keynesian planned economy, and they count everything. If the more money they borrow, they actually count that as a domestic growth. So if they borrow money, it looks like on their models that our economy is doing good. But look at our inflation. They'll probably tell you, I don't know what they're saying inflation is, but the real inflation is something like between 22% and 26%. They're probably saying it's 3 or 4%. I don't know. I haven't listened to it for a while. But this is bad. This is not good. I mean, when have you seen gas up around $5 a gallon in the wintertime? I don't recall ever seeing it like that, except for during the scamdemic.
Right.
But it's just not going down. That might go down 20 cents and then raise it 40 cents. I have no idea what a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread is. I don't eat bread, but I don't shop. My wife does that. But the couple times I had going and shop, I just about crapped and fell back in it. I couldn't believe, you go get a couple things, it costs you $25. You get a bag of groceries, it's $150, $200. It's ridiculous. We can't, yeah. This is, you know, I was going to save this, but I was going to say that we are under so many threats by despicable Democrats. They're weaponizing our government. They're calling for uprisings, fake dossiers, excuse me, fake impeachments, fake trials, open contempt for 74 million America, divided our country like never before. They don't like Trump because he won't fall in line. He cares about America and didn't even take a salary when he was in office. He gave us the best economy ever, lowest unemployment in 50 years, made us energy independent. He slowed the push of the biggest Marxist religion of wealth redistribution and theft of liberty since Obamacare, known as global warming, you know, that scam that is meant to take everything you have, everything your children ever will have, and bring in a new world global neo-commie fascist order. And I'm telling you, this is unsustainable. We can't keep we got to get our country back under control.
So what do you think is going to, I mean, how do we get our country back in control when we have a uniparty that's basically running things? We have Republicans that are playing along to get along. I mean, look how many weeks it took them to get a Speaker of the House. And then all of a sudden, after two or three really good possibilities, they brought someone in. They didn't even do their regular vote. They said, let's just do a raise of the hands. Raise of the hands, and 30 minutes later, he's the Speaker of the House. Why did they have to go through all that dog and pony show and those games of turning down two or three really good people for Speaker to turn around and just say, okay, now we're going to go after this man because he's a mega man? I don't understand.
The Speaker is a perfect example of what's wrong with this country. There's nothing but a bunch of thugs and ideologues in Washington. And most of them are just bending knee to the corporations and the, you know, and redistributing money from us to them. I mean, look at.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about this new speaker. The new Speaker of the House is Mike Johnson from Louisiana. He is a MAGA supporter. Well, come to find out, according to Mr. Gates, and I believe him, he had very great detail. He was on several shows the other day, and they found out. So they didn't want to go through the whole system again because it was taking so long to get a speaker. So somebody made a suggestion: let's just do a poll before we go through all the moves again, and then McCarthy jumped up. He was not for that at all. They found out that McCarthy has been cock blocking, excuse my language, everybody who was running for House, because this guy is so power hungry. He wanted to be put in as Speaker again. So when they called for this poll, he said no. You know, that's against the rules. So they voted to suspend the rules, and then he was done because. When they suspended the rules, he didn't have time to go out and you know, grease everybody's palms or whatever he does to get their votes. And when they took a vote, Mike Johnson got, I think he got all the votes, but I know that McCarthy got zero.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. So when this Emmer pulled out, he pulled out for lack of support. He's a friend of McCarthy's. He even found out that McCarthy blocked him. I'm glad we didn't get him because he wanted to get rid of he wanted us to go back to the popular vote, and we can never do that because either California or New York will pick our president every time.
Yes.
But there was evidence of McCarthy blocking all of those running for speaker in order for him to be reappointed. When Emmer stepped aside, a vote was taken to do a quick poll instead of wasting time and going through the same hoops again, like I mentioned. Johnson won hugely. In fact, McCarthy didn't get a single vote, and he didn't have the time to influence and sabotage. So this is going on everywhere. These people, all they care about is power. I mean, this is good for all Americans. This thing right now, like Gates said, he said that now the deep state is crying, they're whining, and they're on the run. And so we look at this. Let's see. Oh, McCarthy even came up with a plan. He goes, hey, how about appoint me speaker, and then we'll have Jim Jordan be assistant speaker. Now, where is that in the Constitution? I've read
that anywhere in there.
No. He wanted a foreign alliance. I mean, Excuse me. So let me just tell you a little bit about this Mike Johnson that I know so far. He is a former Alliance Defending Freedom lawyer. He is a MAGA guy. He's principled and godly man. He led the amicus brief signed by over 100 Republicans in support of Texas lawsuit seeking to invalidate the fraudulent election of 2020. So there's some good things right there. And, you know, this Matt Gaetz seems to like him and think that he's a pretty – I mean, hopefully he won't get so enthralled in this that he ends up, you know, getting in bed with these – bad actors and going bye-bye on us. But
right,
I mean, we have a chance here. Now I look at that and that gives me hope, because now, you know, you got a guy, I think I'm not certain of this, he may be a part of the Freedom Caucus too. I haven't looked that up yet. I've been gone, as you know, I've been at the doctor today and I just walked in the door,
right,
and I had to go get a heart monitor on and do a echo cardiogram. But I mean, this gives me hope. I mean, we've got a majority in the House. I think it's going to increase hugely in 2024. Just in North Carolina, they just redistricted the maps and they should gain 7 Republican seats because of that. They currently are 7-5, that there's, you know, 7 Republicans, 5 Democrats. And in 2024, it should be 10 to 2. 10 Republicans. And then you look at, I know Trump's going to win. Whether they'll let him win, I don't know. But I'm hoping that enough people are fighting voter fraud that we'll be able to get him in there. But then you look at the Senate. The Senate is backwards from last time. This time Democrats have 20 seats they're fighting to keep. And the Republicans only have 10. So the Democrats are going to have to spend a lot more money. I think we're going to flip the Senate in a big way. And if that works, if we can get Trump in there and have the Senate and the House, I think we got some people in there that'll actually do something now for the first time since I've been alive. And I don't mean to run on and run on, so go ahead.
Oh, well, why are so many Republicans that I'm hearing about, some of these women especially, turning on Trump? I don't get it.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, I can't remember their names exactly, but I remember there was a few women that were back in Congress and Senate that were saying that they felt that Trump was so divisive in this country. And actually, you and I are seeing that there's more people that are stepping forward for Trump, especially in the last year, year and a half, that are in the Black community and the Latino community that are all stating they're going to vote for Trump.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Black and Latino rap groups writing songs about it. And people everywhere stepping up and saying, you know, they'll never vote Democrat again. They've been fooled. In fact, there was the guy that used to own the Golden State Warriors, he's a billionaire. And he was on, I listened to him the other day talk, and he said that when this started, he believed everything the media said and everything the Democrats were saying, and he believed that Trump was an F rating. He said a couple years of Joe Biden, and he gave Trump a C. And he says now, he said he's a B+. he said we straight up can't have Biden anymore. Now, this is one of these millionaires billionaires that are fooled by these globalists. And I tell you what, man, you see that everywhere now. And I've talked to Democrats myself that said they were done. They weren't going to vote for Biden. But then you still get these hardcore Marxists that love him. I mean, let's talk about what are some of the things that the Democrats have given us. This current joke of an administration is doing everything they can to kill God, kill family, kill the middle class. They stole our last election. They gave us the Afghanistan debacle. They let millions that hate us come across our border and invade our country, which might even start a revolution. Billions of our posterity's wealth, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, went to Ukraine. They protect criminals like Antifa and BLM while chastising anyone who disagrees with them. They killed our economy with a scamdemic while transferring $2 trillion from the middle class to corporations while forcing fascism on us. They spy on us. They kill our middle class. They spread hate, erase our borders, left us with a fascist healthcare system, continuous attacks on natural born rights to bear arms, free speech, due process, right to a speedy trial. And it goes on and on. This is unsustainable. And eventually something will give and people will get tired of this crap. Why would anybody want to vote for a Democrat? Now, I'm not saying, we got to hold the Republicans accountable too.
Right. But
I think Democrats, they need to go. they need to go to the minority.
Oh, I totally agree with you on that. You know, when you turn around and you look at the hypocrisy, I even remember sending a message to Juan and I said, you know, it really doesn't make any sense to me that we have our J6ers, some of them still sitting in jail or prison that haven't even been sentenced, haven't had a trial. Some of them are not being allowed to speak to their lawyers. Their lawyers and their family members are not being allowed to have contact with them. Many of them are getting diesel therapy. Now, you know what diesel therapy is, right?
I do.
Let's explain to people. Why don't you help me explain to people out there? So many Americans are so ignorant and so not even in the know. And we have people in Australia and Ireland and South America listening to you and I right now, some of our friends down under. They don't know what American diesel therapy is. Would you explain that to our listeners?
Diesel therapy, it's not, they'll either throw you on a bus or a plane without notice. They usually, from what I've read, you have to leave all your personal items behind, and they start just traveling you all over the country. I mean, say you have to go to Texas and you're in North Carolina, you might go to every other state before you get to Texas, because they leave you, from what I've read from people who've done this, they leave your hands chained to the floor and your feet, and you know, you don't get to take showers or baths, or, you know, if they stop for the night, they might stop at any jail along the way and throw you in a jail cell. You don't eat very well. It's just to torture you. It's more torture.
It's just
to mess with you and mind games. And they don't tell your family until way later. And they may do that once, or they may do it 20 times.
And exactly.
You're talking about the J6ers. Oh my goodness. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump. I mean, so the J6ers, obviously, very few of them committed any crimes at all.
Right.
They showed up, their crime was having the nerve to disagree with the outcome of an election. Right. And are you kidding me? You get more of a, they made them wait, most of them wait 2 years, to go to court. And they didn't release them or OR them or release them on bail or nothing during that time, because they were so dangerous, because they were standing outside the Capitol building. And the ones that went in high-fived the cops on the way in and were given guided tours. I mean, maybe there was this. There's so many media lies been told about this. There's still Democrats that are insisting that a ton of cops got killed that day. And there was one cop that died the next day. He died of a heart attack, and they've already said it had nothing to do with J6. This, all we hear is lies. And this was the whole reason they did this, is because they did steal an election. And when they voted in, they had to create emergency so they could illegally change the rules, in my opinion. And the 12th Amendment says you have to, when you vote that, when you count those ballots for that president, they have to be agreed upon by two-thirds of the states and two-thirds. So you have to have two-thirds of the states, or excuse me, two-thirds of the House, two-thirds of the Senate, and two-thirds of the states. So you have to have quite a few people in there to vote, but they allowed 22 Republicans, 22 Democrats in the House, 22 Republicans, 22 Democrats in the Senate. That is not two-thirds. He is an illegitimate president, in my opinion. They violated the Constitution. Of course, they already violated the Constitution, because we have Kamala Harris as a vice president, and not only is she is not a natural-born citizen, she is not a citizen.
Right.
Period. She's not a citizen. She was an anchor baby, and anchor baby babies are not citizens.
No, they're not. And why is the Supreme Court allowing this? Well, as people said, the Supreme Court is allowing this. These judges are allowing this, just like the judges here in Oregon are allowing our own Oregon Constitution to be violated over and over again. And they're
Why are we allowing it? They are not the arbiter of the Constitution like everybody believes.
The Constitution is,
and the people are supposed to back it up. Why are the people allowing it?
Exactly. And how can we the people deal with it on a national level when many of our state constitutions are being violated? I mean, you know, we've already discussed this before regarding the Oregon state constitution, and many people have brought up to me that they're all have looked up the Article 2, Section 22, and they all agree that not only is Tina Kotek violated like her predecessor, Kate Brown, but Christine Drazen violated Article 2, Section 22. So did Betsy Johnson. And so did more than two-thirds of the people.
Every one of them. And we've already had this discussion.
Right. Every one of them is violating it. So their attitude is, we don't care that the people pass this amendment and put it into the Oregon Constitution, but they're constantly trying to add other things to the Oregon Constitution and wanting us to adhere to all these amendments they're putting in the Oregon Constitution. But they themselves in Salem, in the legislature, in the Senate, they themselves are violating the Oregon Constitution, including this Article 2.
Well, I got to tell you, I got to put this out there for the listeners, because there was a court case. I think it was Vannetta v. something. And it went to the Supreme Court years ago. When I said every one of them is violating that part of the Constitution, I mean Republicans, too.
I agree.
So if they enforce that, every one of them would have to leave their job, which would be, that sounds like a good idea to me. But the Supreme Court literally came out and said that, well, obviously, people, this part of the Constitution in Oregon says that you cannot take, if you're running for a state office, you cannot take money out of the state. And if you're running for a county office, you can't take money out of the county. But everybody takes money from foreign corporations, from like people like China, Canada, some people, China, et cetera. And the Supreme Court literally said that was unconstitutional. It's in our Constitution, but they said it's unconstitutional because it violates the First Amendment. Now they care about the First Amendment, and they're saying that money is freedom of speech, which, I mean, I can see how you can twist it so it can be that way. But how can it be unconstitutional when it's in the Constitution? And
exactly.
I know you say it went to the Ninth Circus, but I cannot find that case, and nobody's ever sent it to me. So until I see that, I'm going to have to know what I know. And you go to an Oregon Supreme Court, though, and they say that something in the Constitution is unconstitutional. That doesn't even make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
But,
and that is, I wish I could bring Desmond on, because he just got done with another court case. He's going up against Shamia Fagan, and just because she's no longer Secretary of State doesn't mean she can't still have her feet put to the fire, and
right.
Everybody that was part of the conspiracy. So he's not going to let go of this. He's definitely a bulldog, and at times he does rub people the wrong way, and I understand that. And he's right now fighting the city of Gresham. He's found out the city of Gresham is now have committed lots of violations, and he is right now at this point in time, I think, dealing with that, and he's learning so much from that case that he's planning to use it against Shamia Fagan. He said that the city of Gresham, he now has that they were in contempt. He wrote to me this morning, now I've got a contempt date against the city of Gresham. He sent me the court paper, and he said that he's the one that wrote the order. He said the judge was being nice. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Chris Brumbles and Maggie Rose here on the Concord Hour here on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Rose and Chris Brumbles here, my co-host in the studio, and you're listening to the Concord Hour here, brought by Republic Broadcasting Network at www.republicbroadcasting.org. And thank you for those of you that have written to me and said that you are going to look on the website and see about possibly ordering things from some of the sponsors that are there. You're noticing there's some really good things that are there that you might find really can contribute to your health and the well-being of you and your family. Chris, I have a little snippet. I'm not going to play the whole thing. This is Mark Thelman, someone that you and I both care and respect very much about. And he and Paul Moore have both been friends of ours for many years, friends of mine anyway. You've had a lot of contact in the past with Mark Thelman. He was the one, of course, that was running for governor, and they basically stole the primary from him, and now he's considering running for Secretary of State. He was thinking about running for possibly for governor again, or running for another position. And more people are trying to convince him that he needs to run for Secretary of State. And we know that we need to, first of all, we need to get rid of that Rosenbaum, whatever her name is, because as long as we have a crooked attorney general in Oregon and a crooked Secretary of State, we're going to keep on for the next 20 years of what's been going on the last 20 years.
Well, so, the Secretary of State, as you know, resigned, and the Attorney General is not running for re-election.
Oh, well, that's a good thing then. But we have to get a decent person in there as Attorney General, and we need to get a decent Secretary of State, because those two can be the ones that make the difference in what happens with our elections. And so,
yeah, we do have a Republican running for Attorney General. I can't. Lathrop's his last name, Will Lathrop, and I have had lunch with him and stuff, and he would be way better than her. I mean, I don't know him that well, so I can't endorse him or nothing, but
well, Tracy's
in the
background.
Obviously, I'm going to vote for him over any Democrat, because the Democrats don't believe in the rule of law.
Well, that's true. As Tracy's in the background, and being that she's the head of the Republican Party there in Columbia County, what are the majority of her people in Columbia County thinking about him?
She's not here anymore. She took off the other end of the house. But
okay.
I mean, obviously they're backing him now because there's no other Republican running. But I know that his background had a lot to do with chasing, you know, sex trafficking, stuff like that. And he's preaching about the rule of law and how we need to get it back in Oregon. So that's good. I don't know how constitutional he is. I actually gave him a constitution, asked him to actually read it, because he didn't seem to know much about the Constitution. None of these people do. They don't learn that in law school, you know. You have to actually go out and read it yourself.
No, they didn't. Here's Mark now, a little snippet from Mark Thelman, who's considering running for Secretary of State of Oregon, and Lars Larson.
Well, I would appreciate it, because I had a little computer freeze at one end. Yeah, just punch the button on. I'm sorry about that. That little computer foobar, it happens from time to time. I want you to tell me about the effort that you're engaged in right now, if you don't mind. Well, you know, I run Battleground Oregon. It's a political action committee, and it's designed to highlight issues of election integrity, also expose government corruption. And for the last 2 years, you know, we've been putting out known nationwide as an election integrity lawsuit that basically says that the American people are losing confidence in the integrity of institutions like county elections clerks, Secretary of State, and in Oregon specifically. There's a widespread lack of confidence in the mail-in ballot system. In other words, it's kind of like the integrity of a proctored test versus, in other words, a supervised test versus a take-home test. We vote by take-home, and there's no way you can secure that. So again, the government is now responding. This is breaking news with an RFP, which is a request for proposal for a high-tech institutions, AI, that kind of thing, to come up with what they're calling the solution, Lars. And the solution is that they are tired of all these pesky election integrity public records requests, and they're tired of all this misinformation. They're calling it mal-dis and misinformation. And now they want to have an electronic or a computerized AI-type system that catalogs people's speech through the cell phone network, through email. And if somebody says, I don't trust the election, they're then flagged and sourced, and they want the system to automatically report people to state police and the FBI.
It's right there. It's like a miniature, a local version of Joe Biden's Ministry of Truth, where the government gets to decide whether something is true or not, valid to public for comment or not, and then just exclude anybody whose point of view or their statements go outside of what the government defines as true. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, but here's the great part. Normally, when you put out a request for proposal, people need to know what mis, mal, and disinformation mean. Either it's not defined in the RFP. Nope. It simply says things that the office determines. Now, Lars, I would love to have that privilege when I'm getting audited by the IRS. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it would be fantastic. If I could define what income is, why, I'd have a very small tax bill instead of a very large one.
Well, if it's a alarming because this thing is, you know, they're going to be awarding this RFP on, tomorrow on the 27th. And so everybody needs to get ready. And this is a direct result of a lot of the work that Battleground Oregon has been doing. It's battlegroundoregon.org. And the lawsuit that they're very concerned about, as we've spoken before, in prior episodes or prior shows. So, you know, I take it as a badge of honor that I'm one of the people they're talking about. But, Lars, if this goes into place, your show will also be monitored.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah,
we run into that from time to time, Mark, because we'll post an interview and people say, I can't find it. I said, well, okay, I have a feeling we're being throttled somewhere. But this idea that the elections division, the OED, is and the county clerks and eligible voters are all going to be targeted by a malinformation system or mis- and malinformation system that's going to target misinformation. And as you said, the critical thing to know is who gets to define what is misinformation? And the one who controls that controls all the information flowing to voters, not through the voters pamphlet that we were just talking about. I don't know if you caught that or not, but, you know, Clackamas County has this crazy, you know, I guess Nazi cover to their voters information pamphlet that's supposed to be nonpartisan from the new elections clerk who replaced the old one who was more than a little bit screwed up, Sherry Hall. And the new one said, oh, I'll be nonpartisan. Well, you wouldn't believe that if you saw the front of the voters pamphlet anyway. And now they want to go out and start targeting information around the state of Oregon?
Well, Lars, they call it the, quote, solution right in the RFP. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember the Third Reich had a solution to what they called the Jewish problem.
The final solution, yeah.
Final solution. And isn't that strange that they would use that language in those terms? Because the real issue is that they're not curious at all about why so many people don't believe in the integrity of elections. That should be their number one concern. But remember, they're afraid of we the people. So everybody needs to become aware of this, which that's is good. Why I appreciate you having.
There you go. There was more, but that's well, okay. I want to hear what you have to say about that.
First, I want to tell you what's been going on with Mark. Mark is a friend of mine, and he's been up to my house for dinner, and when he was running for governor, I had to ask him a whole bunch of questions, and then I got him drunk and asked him a whole bunch of other questions. I said, well, that's good. You're telling the same lies drunk as you are sober. You must be telling the truth. So I literally said that to him. He was on my radio show when I had it. He came on a couple times, but this guy, he's done his homework. He knows what he's talking about. He should be our Secretary of State. And he was going to run for Secretary of State. And then he was approached by some people in Washington. I think they were sent there by Solomon Yu. That's what I've heard. We have no proof of that, but that's what we believe. And they said, hey, you know, step down and run against Val Hoyle, because, you know, Solomon's girlfriend, Carrie McQuiston, is running for Secretary of State, or at least she has proclaimed she is.
Right.
And we can't have – I mean, this girl's definition – I mean, she puts the ho in homely. Sorry, but she does.
She does, yeah.
And she puts the – she is a liar. I've never heard her tell the truth about anything. She even came out and said that I was a felon because she didn't like something I said. And, you know, I've had a CHL for 20 years. You can't do that if you're a felon.
Right.
But anyways, So he was approached by some people who flew in from Washington. They rented a room in Portland, and he met there with them, and they said they would back him and, you know, they would support him if he ran against Val Hoyle for CD4. And so he decided to do that. And then either the ORP or the caucus or a combination thereof went ahead and put somebody out there to run against him. They lied to him. They stabbed him in the back. And so now he went out to a meeting the other day, and there was a whole bunch of people in the room, and he asked them to raise your hand if you want me to run for CD4. And I think three or four hands went up. And then they said, raise your hand if you want me. He said, raise your hand if you want me to run for Secretary of State. And like 98% people were cheering. We need him as Secretary of State. He's done his homework. He's seen all the corruption. He's seen the election fraud. He's been against, you know, this guy has stood up for us when he was a superintendent, and he was the first guy. And Well, he's the only guy to stay open the whole time during the scamdemic when they were trying to force you to wear masks and all this other stuff. He didn't do that. And, of course, he got sued by the governor because the governor thinks that she's a king. You know, they think we like kings and we don't. But so the Republicans caucus and certain factions in the ORP are still trying to control all the elections. They don't want to listen to we the people. They keep blocking our grassroots candidates and putting in the most unlikely Marxist. They call himself a Republican, but they're really a Marxist. Like, well, Drazen may not be a Marxist, but she was pretty far left, and she doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't abide by the platform of the Republican Party. And who was it before then? Bueller. Bueller, he was pro-abortion, anti-gun, pro-gay marriage. I mean, everything against what the platform is on the Republican Party. These are the people they keep picking, and this is why they will never win. So I'm going to talk to Mark, try and convince him to run for Secretary of State, and I will guarantee him that he will win my county, and then I will talk to patriots like-minded all over the state and see if they can. We're going to have to help him because he's not going to get as much money because all the, you know, the caucus and the ORP pretty much suck up all the money.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to do a real grassroots effort to get him in.
But right.
I don't know how well it'll work or what. I haven't talked to him yet, even to see if he is. I did leave him a message. He hasn't called me back yet. But people, we got to take our country back. They're not going to give it back to us. We're going to have to take it back. So
they're going to keep on taking and taking and taking. In fact, when I talked to Mark on the phone the other day, and he explained to me, he says, yeah, a lot of people are trying to convince me that I need to go for Secretary of State. And he says, I think that's probably what I'm going to do. And I said, good. That's where we need you. We need a good Secretary of State. And we need a good attorney general. And with those two, I don't care who the governor is, we can start to get this state back bit by bit. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, I don't have any plans of running for governor or anything anytime in the near future. And a lot of it is because of the fact is you have to have a party behind you that's mm-hmm. strong enough. And when I was in the Republican Party, too many of the women and others there were feeling very jealous because they couldn't believe I had the background, the resume or the pedigree that I have, even when you give them the evidence you do and say, look, I've got everything it takes to be able to run for this office. When I went to the Constitution Party, I found that that party had not been strong for the last 20 years. Now I'm back with the Republican Party, but the point is you also have seen many of these Republican parties in many of the counties have been imploding upon themselves because some of these people are not really Republicans. They want to turn it into, instead of being the Republican Party of their county, they want it to be America First. Yeah. And get rid of the word Republican. And that is just not going to happen. That can't happen.
Well, it is. It has turned into the American First Party, though, because look what just happened. The minority wins again. I mean, the Republicans, the Freedom Caucus won big when they got that Mike Johnson in. And I think you're going to see it spread. We need to spread. You don't have to change the name of the party, but you do. People need to put America first or we're going to be last like everybody else.
Well, what I think the first thing to start doing is, number one, closing our borders. And number two, all these different Al-Qaeda cells that we have, Hezbollah and Hamas, that are all over Oregon, all over Washington State, all over California, Arizona, Utah. We need to get rid of these cells. How do you do that? Because many
did you ever hear of Operation Wetback?
No.
Oh, you never heard it. You should read up on it. I think it was in the 50s. It was Eisenhower was the president, and they had a problem with illegal invaders too. So what they did was they just scooped him up, put him on an airplane. Well, when they tried to bust him out, they just come back. So they put him on an airplane, flew him out in the middle of the Mexican desert and dropped him off.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. I said, let's do that again. They don't have a right to invade our country any more than we have a right to invade their country.
Well, Biden, supposedly his people are trying to say that they put some of these illegals on planes in the last month and they've been flying them to Venezuela. Now, why they're flying them to Venezuela, I don't know. I don't
Can you believe anything he says? I don't believe
nothing he says.
He's a liar. He's a scumbag and he's a traitor. So, I mean, and that's proof. They just put out, so the House, what was the House Ways and Means Committee is now going to put out 700 more pages of his treason and his son's, you know, basically getting money for favors, you know.
Right.
And 700 more pages. They've got some of the bank records now and everything. I don't know why. Obviously, you're never going to be able to impeach him because the Democrats won't allow that. But if anybody ever needed to be impeached, it's this clown. This guy's a traitor to our country. He sold us out. He's stole, and they've got proof of at least $20 million taken. Yep, $20 million.
Why can't we not actually get rid of a person in the while he's president? Why am I being told from so many people we have to wait until he leaves the presidency? Why allow him to keep doing that much more damage?
Well, because the way our system is set up, you have to impeach him. And to do that, you gotta get a certain number of Democrats to vote to impeach, and they won't do it.
Yeah.
So you can't. I know you want to. Everybody wants to react with anger, but you got to use your brain. I mean, that's the only way you can beat these guys. And I'm telling you, there is hope. There is hope because if this Johnson guy does the job like I hope he will, and like it's looking like he will, if he doesn't sell out, I think we can go a long way. I think we're going to get total control of the House. I think, I mean, maybe even enough to get a super majority, and then we're going to get the Senate. I would bet money we're going to get the Senate, and I'd say by a fairly large margin. And then, you know, Trump is going to win. There is no doubt. Now, whether they will cheat so bad that he doesn't get in, I don't know. But look at the polls. I mean, I don't believe in polls, but when you're leading by 45%.
Yeah,
I mean, that is huge. I mean, against the number two, and he's leading by last poll I looked at, he was leading by 10% over Biden. That is huge for a presidential race.
It is.
Yeah, you've got independents and you've got Democrats and you got Latinos and blacks and all these people and women. The hardest part is women, I think, because women, you know.
Yeah, the soccer moms are.
I call them the sucker moms because
sucker moms.
they're still voting Democrat, a lot of them, but
yeah,
but they'll figure it out. I mean,
they will.
Like we've talked about this before, people don't react until something affects them.
Yes,
but we've only got 8 minutes, so if I could just say a couple things about President Trump.
Not a problem. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay, these cases against Trump, their attack on democratic process, free speech, and our republic in whole. So they got this judge, Arthur Engoron. He'd put a gag order on Trump in the middle of an election. You ever heard of anything so crazy?
That's insane.
Basically killing his free speech, ordering him not to talk about the judge's staff. So his clerk was hanging out with Schumer the Tumor, and had the judge's ear. So Trump thought that was wrong, so he said something. The judge fined him $5,000 and threatened that next time he would face stiffer penalties and that he could even receive jail time. Now, I can't even imagine what that would do. You might even start a revolution putting him in jail. But then Trump was fined another $10,000 by the same judge because he stepped outside the court and talked to the AP. And when he came back in, he was put on the stand and he fined him. His lawyers told the judge that Trump was talking about Michael Cohen, not his staff. He didn't seem to care. He went ahead and then you got this other judge, another judge, Chutkan. She had gagged Trump, but she put a stay on it because he's appealing it. And that scared the crap out of her because she knows it's not really a legal thing she can do. And then when she stayed, he came out swinging verbally, as he should. I mean, this was a huge, broad gag order. That it said he couldn't talk to any foreseeable witnesses from this case. And this is the J6 case. So there are thousands of witnesses. So they're wanting him to walk on landmines and around eggshells. And while he's running for a campaign, they're trying to shut him up. And this is the biggest, I say this is the greatest Orwellian attack on free speech ever. And if they can do it to a past president, they can do it to you or your children. People need to raise Cain and start writing these judges or your congressmen or whoever. Just keep your voices loud and proud, you know. Bark a lot. Be sheepdogs and bark.
Yes.
Because this is also election interference. It's not just a violation of free speech. It's election interference. And we can't have the Democrats don't get to pick who we vote for, period. And look what they do. Anybody who votes against them, they attack them with the force of the government. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, they use our taxpayer dollars. That's mm-hmm. why so many people are saying we need to get rid of these illegal income taxes anyway, where they want you to voluntarily sign a paper saying I'm voluntarily giving you all my personal information for you to come after me, and I'm volunteering myself to basically be on your cross, to be your sacrificial lamb. So even Trump knows that the IRS needs a complete gotten rid of. We need to get rid of the CIA, which has been creating most of the wars around the world and making their black money, their secret money, over and above what our tax dollars are paying them. And we need to clean house with the FBI. So I say get rid of the IRS completely, get rid of the CIA, and clean house and make sure only legitimate people are in the FBI.
Well, I think we need to get rid of the FBI too, personally, but we need to get rid of all these three-letter agencies. Now, we can have – look, if we need intelligence, we've always had military intelligence. They can guard our borders with intelligence. As far as spying on U.S. citizens, you don't need to do that. What you need to do is get rid of all the illegal invaders, and just let people live and let live like it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
And I mean, why does the Department of Energy, why does the Department of Education, why does the IRS, why are they all armed like the military? Really? The Department of Education? Come on.
Oh, that's so they can put the fear of God in people so parents can't say, I don't want my child who's only 8 years old being taught how to masturbate and being taught all about sex and sexual gender. They're supposed to be learning reading, writing, arithmetic, social sciences, and history, not being learning about sex when you're only 8 years old.
I agree. And if they do learn about it at 8 years old, it should be up to the parents' decision, because you know how mature your kid is. They don't. You know, there is not just one standard for every person.
There you go. Well, I'm going to let you say the final statement before we go off air. What is your final statement to the people, Chris?
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, we are moving toward an Orwellian society, and we need to, people, get involved. Get involved. Let your voices be heard. Demand. Don't put up with this crap no more. These people are not, we do not elect kings, and liberty is the inherent possession of men and not the gift of government. We need to know that, and we need to shout it from the rooftops.
Amen for that, folks. This
God
is
bless.
Maggie Rose, and I'll be back on Monday at the same time and channel. You all have a safe weekend. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, one more thing, Maggie. Why don't we bring Mark on next Friday?
Okay, let me try to contact him and see about that.
Okay, if you need me to try, I'll do it too. All right.
Okay.
God bless everybody. See you next
okay,
week.
Okay, you go after him. I'll go after him. We'll wedge him in between the two of us.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's say that.
That's right. We're not going to take it anymore.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.